You are now listening to
Radioactive.
Hey everyone, I'm Maya Kahns here with
Melissa Takai. Welcome to Radioactive's first podcast of 2017.
So we understand how you're probably tired of hearing about this past election, but have you heard from the voices of the youth?
We talked to Somali Muslim college students, a high schooler that supports Donald Trump, and other young adults with different backgrounds and opinions. Here are some of their reactions about the election.
As the election was coming to a close on that Tuesday, I felt a series of emotions. Anger, sadness, frustration, disbelief, but above all, disappointment. Disappointment in how weak-minded this nation's population can be.
And it was extremely stressful.
I was devastated. I was surprised, shocked, embarrassed in our country, and scared for the outcome of our country and what it's going to be and how it's going to turn, or what it's going to turn into.
I'm still shocked. I'm definitely still shocked about it, and I still can't believe the word president and Donald Trump are in the same sentence.
Yeah, I was actually kind of relieved because I really did not like Hillary Clinton at all, because she is a very dishonest person, and I don't understand why anyone would have supported her in the first place.
I'm still disappointed and upset, but I still understand that he's pretty much our new president, and I don't think we can really do anything about that right now.
Trump may become the president of the United States of America, but he will not be my president.
Let's hear more from Amina Sheikh. She's a Somali American and Muslim. Like many youth, she's unhappy with the results of the election. Let's hear what she has to say.
Well, at first, you know, I feel like the nation was on the same page. Everyone thought Hillary has it. She has it in the bag, especially with how obnoxious Trump was throughout the elections. I thought, hey, America has some kind of intellect in having that reflected in the polls. But I guess towards the end, the heart rate definitely spiked up. My phone kept ringing nonstop, and it was extremely stressful. But I think regarding especially my community, the Somali and Muslim community, there is, I think without a doubt, it's going to negatively affect them and my family. With me personally as an individual, I believe, even though I'm a Muslim, African-American, I do not wear the hijab. And I think that kind of reduces the target on my back a little bit. So I'm mostly worried about the sisters in my family, my mother, all the women who are in my family, and my friends who go to school who wear the hijab. I think they have a bigger target on their back, and that's my main concern. I think the day after the election, it was like a nightmare setting in. The vibe was not the same. It just was very sad and very heavy, and I did notice a few stares. I've got questions about from my white friends or texts from my white friends. Hey, are you okay? I mean, I think my existence in America was definitely made to be unwelcome after the day of the elections. That's exactly how I felt, like I was not wanted in this country, period.
Here's Nick Hudson, a senior in high school. Unlike Amina, he's actually pretty satisfied with the results of the election. Let's hear him out.
So out of the two candidates, I was actually kind of rooting for Trump out of the two. Originally, he wasn't my top pick. I kind of went with Sanders originally. Yes, Sanders and Trump are way different on a lot of issues, but I feel like they're both strong characters and would have made great presidents. Main reason I supported him after Sanders was completely out of the election was because he was really against the I guess the way to say it is like politically correct culture, and nannying people or creating like, you know, like safe space, stuff like that. Well, Clinton kind of pandered to people like that, which is why I believe she was pretty, like, they were really neck and neck up until the election day. It just seems that he actually has more strength behind him and gumption to say like what's wrong with this country, especially in terms of when like terrorist attacks happen. He would say like, oh yeah, it was like a Muslim terrorist or something. Well, Hillary would just say it was a terrorist or something. And it's actually like, you know, he's not afraid to use descriptive words and actually say what a lot of the other people are thinking. Trump, I believe, actually cares a lot about people. You can see him saying, like, we need to, like, protect our people. And, like, even groups people say he discriminates against, like, the LGBT community. He says, like, we need to protect our LGBT people. Well, I feel like Clinton just uses them kind of as a voting group. She just seems like she doesn't really care.
When I came to school after the election results were in, you could tell that a lot of students were unhappy. My history teacher even canceled his lesson for us.
Then what did you guys do in class?
Well, he let us do whatever we wanted, talk about the election, take a break, anything that would make us feel better.
Nick actually experienced some of the same things that you did and had some feelings against canceling class.
I feel like it's just people are crying because they don't understand that half the country feels one way and half the country feels another. It seems like students and teachers really just thought that only their opinions really mattered, that Trump supporters were like a vocal minority and a physical minority, and that only like Clinton supporters were like around. It just didn't make any sense that people would say like, oh, someone feels different from me, so I'm going to like, you know, shut down my lesson for the day and like, you know, tell my kids it's okay if you like, you know, feel bad. And I'm just thinking, what would have happened if like, you know, Clinton had won and I said, or if I wanted to say like, oh, can you stop your lesson? Like, you know, can I take the day off? They would have said no, probably.
Amina is a student at the University of Washington, and she explains her experience after the election.
The Somali Student Association, the day after the election, hosted an emergency meeting because there was an incident on our campus where one of the students was verbally attacked by four white boys in a car. So we came together to come up with a plan and to make sure that everyone's on the same page in terms of being strong and uniting. Although it fueled my anger, because it made me realize that it was actually real and this is not a nightmare.
My name is Salem Abraha, and I was scared for all the people that would have been affected by his election, including myself, and the fact that someone who publicly bashed certain groups in our society is our president is terrifying, and that just shows how people in our country believe what he says. Like, I knew this before, but it makes me fully understand that America isn't as free as we thought it was before. It's not a country where everybody's created equal. And I just started to realize people are becoming more bold and more open with their discrimination and their racism. So I just feel really uncomfortable walking around UW campus. Already you don't feel like you belong because you're a minority, and then seeing these students look at you a certain way, it makes you feel even less.
Did you receive any support on campus? And if you did, what kind of support did you receive?
The Ethnic Culture Center on campus, the Samuel E. Ethnic Culture Center, was really supportive. They created a safe space for all the minority students to come and really come together and lean on one another in this really terrible time.
It can be hard to talk about these topics, especially with your parents. When you type into Google the words, how to talk to your family about, the autocomplete function suggests the following searches. Quote, how to talk to your family about Trump. How to talk to your family about the election. How to talk to your family about racism. How to talk to your family about climate change. Radioactive's Nina Tran voted for Clinton and has been searching for ways to talk with her parents who are Trump supporters.
Between my parents and I is an ocean of differences. It's an entire history of experiences of pain, struggle, and trauma. You see, both of my parents are immigrants from Vietnam and both came to America as refugees, which makes me first-generation American. They've spent the majority of their lives working, whereas I've spent the majority of mine in school. At the age of 8, my mom was splitting a single chocolate bar among 12 people at a refugee camp in Malaysia, whereas I was most likely sitting in front of the TV set watching Pokemon. I've never felt close to either of my parents because I've always felt different from them. That's especially true now. They supported Trump, and I supported Clinton. And Googling how to talk to your parents about Trump doesn't help because the articles I've seen assume that Trump supporters are white and conservative. My parents are neither of those things.
Hi, my name is Mai. Last name is Luck, L-U-C. I'm actually Nina Tran's mom.
My mom is Chinese-Vietnamese and identifies as neither liberal nor conservative. She actually voted for Clinton in 2008, but not in 2016. I decided to ask her why.
Well, through all those 8 years, many things happened, and it really shows that she lacks experience in a way of managing. He hasn't done his job yet, so I haven't seen what he can present or actually do or what he promised. But after seeing Clinton, I would rather take the risk and chance to go with someone, even though I don't or haven't seen his work. The only thing that makes me wanted to vote for him was I know that our country is in debt. And as soon as I heard him announcing using his own funds for most of the things, you know, that we lack, already gave me a thought of, well, maybe that would help, you know, the U.S. government, because we're totally in debt, and anything that would help not taking, you know, putting taxes on the people, because obviously I don't want to be taxed for other stuff that I don't need to pay for.
Like what?
There's taxes on everything that we do now. You know, the transportation, there's housing, there's taxes on almost...
But don't you think you benefit from that too? Or like, we ended up talking for 3 hours about why she voted for Trump. In case you can't tell, having this conversation with my mom made me feel angry and frustrated. For me, some of the biggest deal breakers have been his outward racism and misogyny. These are parts that my mom, like a lot of Trump supporters, chose to ignore. How could she do that? One of the biggest things that I couldn't understand was that my mom immigrated to America. So how could she support Trump given his anti-immigration stance? I brought it up during our conversation.
I don't think I understand how you can accept the things that he says about, like, immigrants.
I sort of don't agree with what he's saying, but in a way I kind of do agree, so I'm, like, in the between area.
What parts do you agree with, what parts do you disagree with?
Well, I kind of agree with the part where he actually thinks that people should enter the U.S. the legal way and not illegal, because I did enter the USA legally.
You were really lucky in that you got the refugee status. Don't you think that's lucky?
Well, they're lucky. They just went straight to America and enter America illegally and get away with it. Okay? And they want to be entitled to everything else. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, this is how we worked. Okay?
Who's we?
The refugee people. Okay?
So we left our country...
We stayed at a refugee camp for over a year, okay? For over a year to wait for the process for us to enter the U.S. legally. Over a year of waiting in a camp, okay? Lack of, you know, food. There was so many stuff that we didn't have, but we kind of survived through it and, you know, bear through it. And finally, we got accepted, you know, legally by a sponsor. Once we got in, we still didn't get the residence permit. We had to apply, which takes at least 6 months to 1 year for that. So basically, it takes about almost two and a half years before we can say, okay, we're legally a legal immigrant to live in the U.S. So that, during all that time, we just have to bear and grin through every process. Why did we do that when we can just enter it illegally? Because we respect the law. It's not our own country, so we have to respect them.
But the thing is, too, also...
It's pretty obvious that we disagreed on a lot of things, but I still wanted to know what she wanted out of the future. I decided to ask her what it meant for my future since she voted for Trump.
Well, but the thing is, he is very hateful, and he's very aggressive to people who are like us. But, like, how do you feel as our mom, who... is supposed to, like, I don't know, like, look out for us against, like, someone who is so against our identities.
How do I look? Just because I voted for him doesn't mean that my whole life goes around him. It evolves around him. So anything that would happen to my kids, of course I'm going to stand up for my own kids, right? I'm going to support my kids.
In talking with my mom, I wanted to understand her reasoning more. In a couple of days, Donald Trump will be president, and it's going to take a lot more conversations, a lot more listening, and a lot more honesty in order for me to understand where my mom is coming from when she says that she believes in Trump. For Radioactive, I'm Nina Tran.
The inauguration is soon, and we ask for any last words from Salam Abraha, Nick Hudson, and Ali Judah Valdez.
grow up. Presidents really just come and go. So it's not going to always be a Democratic president. It's not always going to be a Republican president. I mean, it just feels odd that people want, or like, they feel that this is the worst thing that's happened to them. They think, oh yeah, this is like, literally I'm going to be like executed because I'm like, you know, gay or somewhere. I'm going to be shipped out because I'm Mexican. Like, that's not going to happen. He only wants to like deal with the criminals. Like, if you're here legally and everything, your family's good, then you're good to go. Yeah, people just need to grow up and accept that half the country voted this way. It's a democratic process. He won fair and square.
I mean, I just feel like knowing that he's become president, that people actually voted for this man, there's so many words I could tell, like, say to them right now, but all I can say is that I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry that you think this man is worth taking the highest position in office. And I'm sorry that you believe all the awful things that he says. And another thing, it's like, if although a lot of Trump supporters argue that just because I voted for Trump, I'm not racist, but, you know, if you voted for Trump, like, honestly, if you voted for Trump, you hate my existence. You hate me, and you hate the fact that I'm living here. But to those that have been affected by this election, to know that they are supported and there are other people in this country that feel for them, and to understand that not, although he did become president, the popular vote was towards Hillary Clinton, and there are more people that care about others than there are people hating.
I don't believe in Donald Trump becoming president, but it's not going to help saying F you, Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it is what it is. So we need to find a different strategy and try to make a statement without using violence. When you're mad, you're not in your right mindset. So we need to find a way to diffuse our hatred for things, and we need to come at it as with a clear mindset.
This podcast was done by Radioactive, KUW's youth media group. We would like to thank everyone who allowed us to talk to them and recorded that audio.
We would like to thank our advisor, Jenny Asarno, our executive producer, Natalie Newcomb, and Maria Coogden for production.
Make sure to like us on Facebook and share this podcast on your social media. You can find more podcasts from Radioactive at kuw.org/radioactive.
Youth Media.